Father, we thank you tonight, this morning. Even though we can't see it, you're working. Even when we don't feel it, you're working. Because you never stop. You never stop working. And Father, you're an awesome God. And so we bless you today. We want to thank you. And we're not letting rocks cry out for us today. Your word says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And Father, we're so glad you've saved us from a devil's hell. You've delivered us from all that the enemy had planned. You've transferred us over into your dear kingdom, placed your redemptive realities upon us, all of our rights and inheritances in Christ. And so, Father, we bless you, thank you, honor you, reverence you, giving you all of the glory, giving you all of the praise. Father, as we stand before your word today, we know that your word has the answer. Every situation, every circumstance we face, your word has the answer. We know your word is no ordinary book. These are no ordinary words. These words are filled with life. These words, Father God, are anointed, just dripping with the anointing. Your word's quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. Your word's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Thank you for the word today. Father, with your word, break yokes. With your word, change wrong thinking. With your word, save and heal, deliver, set free. With your mighty word, Father, accomplish every goal that you have. Father, every purpose that you send the word on today, we know shall be accomplished. So heal and deliver, set free and give the victory. Father, we thank you for it through the mighty word and in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the good Holy Ghost. He's our great helper today. Oh, thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you that he's the truth revealer. Thank you that he's the great comforter. Thank you that he's the one, Father God, who helps us in every situation. So speak to your people today. Speak to every ear. Speak to those listening by live stream or listening through some other venue. Speak to every situation. Speak into every circumstance. Father, we'll be so careful to give you all of the glory. We'll give you all of the honor. We'll give you all of the praise. We'll call you the mighty way maker because you make a way when there is no way. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, if you agree with that, turn and wave at somebody. Praise God. You can find your seat. Hallelujah. Turn to Exodus chapter 3, if you will. And while you're doing that, let's also thank all of our frontline singers and musicians for leading us right into the presence of God. Praise God. I tell you, there's nothing like being in God's presence. The Bible says, Psalm 97:5, that the very mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. There's something about just getting in his presence. And when we come corporately like that, how the yokes are broken, praise God. So we appreciate all of our worship leaders and musicians and singers. We thank God for them. Exodus chapter 3, if you will. Exodus chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 10. Verse 14 is a verse we want to highlight, Exodus chapter 3. I'm reading from the New American Standard, if you will. Verse 10, therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. And when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. And then Moses said to God, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. When Moses asked God for his name, God told Moses, my name is I am who I am. And that name carries a connotation that only God has. I am who I am. That name has eternal weight and significance. In other words, God is saying, I've had no beginning. I am who I am. And I'll never have any end. I am who I am. That name carries the weight of all power and all authority. God was identifying himself with a name that only God has. He was saying, essentially, I have always been, I am right now, and I always will be. I am who I am. It is interesting that over in John chapter 8, you don't have to turn there. I'll paraphrase for you. Jesus is in a debate with the religious leaders of the day. And in that debate, the religious leaders around verse chapter 8 of John at 55 and 56, they say something like, Abraham is our father. And then in, I think it's 56, Jesus says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And then they said, wait a minute. Let me count this up now. Carry the 3 minus 2, something. They said, Jesus, you're not even 50 years old. Are you claiming to have seen Abraham? And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And he used the same phraseology that's used right here in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, a name that only God has identified himself with. And when Jesus used that name, I am, they picked up stones to stone him. They said, he's claiming to be God. He's claiming to be God. And thank God, how many of you know he was God, fully God and fully man, praise God. And so God said, I am. There's something powerful that happens. You know, names are very significant. Names are very, very important. I remember years ago, 1984, and I was on my honeymoon in Bermuda, 1984. And the way we got to Bermuda is I was a campus minister working Virginia Commonwealth, Virginia State. I was working at University of Richmond. I was the campus minister at those three schools. And somebody heard I was getting married, and they said, hey, I know a brother in Bermuda, and this brother is a Christian, and this brother loves to help ministers. He owns several properties on the island of Bermuda, and if you'll just write to him, tell him that you're a minister, he'll probably write you back and let you come stay in one of his properties. And you know, my money was a little on the thin side, you know, 1984, just about to get married, I just bought that ring, you know. And so I wrote a letter to this guy. His name was Goose Gosling. I didn't know who that was. When God gave me the name and the address, I'd never heard that. You know, later found out Goose was a famous, I don't know how you say it, Bermudian. He was a famous diver. He had, in the 1952 Olympics, he represented Bermuda in the 1952 Olympics, and he was known all over. I had no idea. And he was just beloved on the island of Bermuda. He started the first Christian chapter of Young Life on the island of Bermuda. Goose Gosling started. I didn't know any of that at the time that I wrote to him, but he promptly wrote me back and said, absolutely, Bill, I've got an apartment. It's an efficiency apartment. It's all furnished. And he says, listen, the dates that you gave me, it's available for 10 days. You can come and stay 10 days. And he said, and by the way, I'm not going to charge you a dime. He says, and I'll pick you up from the airport. Just send me your picture so I know how to identify you at the airport. And you and your bride. And he says, and I'll come get you. And just like he said, you know, we paid for our tickets to Bermuda, but when we got off the plane, Goose was at the airport waiting on us. And, you know, it seemed like everybody at the airport knew Goose. They were all saying, Goose, Goose, Goose. I still didn't know who Goose was. But I was so thankful, you know, and he took us to the efficiency apartment, and he gave us all the lowdown on Bermuda, and he asked us, how much money do you have to spend? And when we told him, he said, this is the best places to go, and he asked us, what type of food do you like to eat? And we told him, and he said, go over here for Chinese, go over there for Italian, go over here. And he said, when you go to these places, tell them Goose sent you. And I said, okay. And he said, so now, okay, what are you going to do to get around? I said, well, we're going to rent one of those moped things. And so he said, oh, okay, the moped place is down here on this corner. He said, go down there. When you go in there, tell them Goose sent you. I still didn't know who Goose was. So I said, okay. So we were getting the moped. We'd gone to rent the moped, and we'd filled out the paperwork and all that. And the guy said, okay, it's going to be a $300 deposit. You leave us $300, you bring the moped back unharmed, then we give you a $300 deposit back, and then you just pay whatever fees it is. So I said, okay. And so I was taking out the money to leave the $300 deposit. And then I remembered what Goose said. And I said, I was about to say Goose sent me. But he said, so where are you staying? And I said, Goose, I'm staying with at one of, he said, Goose Gosling? And I said, yes, sir. He said, no deposit. Put the $300 back in your pocket. I said, there's something about this name. We went to eat. They asked us. I said, well, Goose sent you? No, don't worry about it. I'm telling you, everywhere we went, we'd be standing in line. Somebody would say, oh, nice to see you. Say, well, on our honeymoon. Say, oh, that's nice. What do you know? I said, Goose sent us. Goose sent you? Come on up here. Man, we're using the name of Goose all over the island of Bermuda. I'll show up and say, Goose, 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 Goose. That name carried some weight in Bermuda in 1984. I'm going to tell you what. But there is a name unlike any other name. There's a name so high that no name can be compared to it. There is a name that's so great that there's no human suffering, no obstacle, no thing that you're going through, no sickness or ailment can even approach the power that's in this other name I'm talking about. Oh, in the name, in the name, in the name, we've been given use of the name of Jesus. And I tell you, there's no greater name than that name. I like that name because I was set free in that name. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. 1979, I went down on a bended knee using that name, and God made Satan take his hands off of me, and Jesus saved me by his blood. Hey, using that name. There's victory in that name. And the thing I like about it, the victory's already been won. It's already been wrought. I like to share so often that example. So many years ago, probably more than a decade ago, I was watching golf, and I'd come home from church, and one of the major tournaments was on, and back in the days of the VCR and taping the tournaments, and I'd go tape the tournaments, and then I'd come home from church. I'd tell everybody, don't tell me nothing about it, and I'd get home, and after supper, then you turn it on, you rewind it back to the beginning, and then you watch it. Anybody remember a VCR? And I got in there and messed up and hit the wrong thing on the remote. Instead of hitting rewind, I hit play. And when I hit play, it showed the end of the tournament. And the guy that I wanted to win, he was already holding the trophy. He was holding the trophy, making a concession speech. And I said, I messed up. And I rewound it back to the beginning. But I had the knowledge that he had already won. And with the knowledge that he had already won, it affected the whole way I watched the turn. Is anybody with me? And when he started out, so I started watching it from the beginning, knowing that I already seen him holding the trophy. And while I'm watching it now, I'm trying to act like I don't know that he's holding the trophy already. And the commentators are saying, he doesn't have it today, Johnny. He just doesn't have it. You can't win a major tournament like that. Oh, he just bogeyed a hole, Johnny. Oh, he's not got it today. There's not going to be any victory today. I started talking to my TV. I said, wait a minute now. No. He going to win it today. And they kept saying, he just doesn't have it today, John. I said, he got it. He not only got that, he got the trophy too. I yelled at the TV more that day because I knew he was holding the trophy. But there is a victory that has been established in the realm of the spirit, unlike any other victory that's ever been won before. And this victory has been provided not just for the one who won it. Now, the one who won the victory is sure enough a champion. But he took the victory that he won and gave all of us in the body of Christ, every member of the ecclesia, everyone who's called out, every member of the body of Christ, he gave them the same victory. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. The Bible says we have become trophies of Christ's victory. And so even though we have to go through things, we deal with things, we have to deal with it from the perspective that we've already won, we've already got the victory, just like the golfer that was holding the trophy at the end and I'm watching the beginning, you may be somewhere along your timeline, but I'll tell you what, you've already got the victory. God sees you and I holding the trophy. And so God revealed himself. I am who I am. And God revealed his names unto his people. And he has told you and I to call my name. Just call my name. There's something powerful that happens when a believer calls out on the name of God. You remember Peter sinking after getting out of a boat and walking on the water for a few moments. As he began to sink, he called out Jesus' name. He said, Lord. And when he said, Lord, he was saying essentially all the laws of buoyancy have to stand aside because Jesus is the Lord of even buoyancy. He said, Lord, save me. And Jesus went over and grabbed him and picked him right on back up. And the two of them defied the laws of buoyancy and walked back to the boat. Something powerful happens when you call that name. The enemy, he wants you to do anything but call that name. He doesn't want you to call that. We've inherited that name. Go with me to Genesis 17. Genesis chapter 17. The enemy is just hoping that you will sit there through your problems and trials with your mouth shut. He's just hoping that you won't release faith out of your heart, that you won't release faith out of your mouth, because he knows if you'll believe the word on the inside and speak the word coming off of your mouth, there's no problem, no obstacle, no situation, no sickness, no challenge that has not already been defeated. Oh, in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, the Bible says, now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. Now I like that because God, this was Abram's name, God took his name and changed it. He changed his name to be the father of many nations, Abraham. Abraham means the father of many nations. And God says, you're no longer going to be Abram because I've promised you a son. And when God told Abraham this information, Abraham didn't have a child. In fact, it looked impossible from a natural perspective for him to ever have a child. It looked like he would never hold the trophy. Oh, but God already saw him holding the trophy. God could already see it. And God said, your name's not going to be Abram anymore. Your name's going to be Abraham. And you notice what God said? He said, I am God Almighty. And that word God Almighty, you know what it means? El Shaddai. El Shaddai. He was saying, Abraham, there's nobody greater than me. I've promised you a child. I've got the power to deliver on what I promised you. And my brother and sister, whatever the Lord has promised you today, he's got the power to deliver on what he promised. I said, he's a faithful God. And the funny thing about it, he has a way of living up to what we call him. In the midst of challenge, in the midst of adversity, in the midst of seeming defeat, we need to learn how to call his name. How to call his name. That's the title of this message. Call his name. Look at somebody and tell them, call his name. He told Abraham, he said, I am God Almighty. He said, I am El Shaddai. He said, I'm the God. I can do anything but fail. And you know the rest of this story, how God brought Abraham through and how God gave Abraham the victory. And Abraham praised God for honoring his word. Go with me to Exodus chapter 15. God told Abraham there in Genesis 17, I am El Shaddai. I've got all power in my hand. And thank God, there's no God like our God. There is no other God except our God. Praise God. Hallelujah. But he told Abraham, I'm El Shaddai. I've got all power. You got a situation you need help with? God's got the power to bring you through. He's El Shaddai. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Exodus chapter 15, at verse 22, we're going to 26. At verse 22, it says, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter, and therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. And then he made there he made for them a statute and a regulation, and there he tested them. Verse 26 is where we're going. And he said, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I've put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer. For I, the Lord, am your healer." The original language, he was saying, "I, the Lord." When he said that, he was saying, "I am Jehovah Rapha. I'm your healer." I said, if you're facing challenges in your body today, you need to call him Jehovah Rapha. You need to be calling on the Lord who is our healer. And oh, when we use that name of Jesus, he's Jehovah Rapha. Aren't you glad about that? He's our healer. When we were praying over prayer clause a few moments ago, he's our healer. Someone may be struggling at home, going through a situation. He's your healer. He said, "I am the Lord. I am Jehovah Rapha." He told Abraham, he said, "I'm El Shaddai." He told Moses, he said, "I'm Jehovah Rapha." And I tell you, when we follow the Lord and follow the power of his name and call upon his name, situations and circumstances will change. Look over in the next chapter. Look at Exodus. We were just reading 15, right? Exodus 15, 26. Now go to Exodus 17. This is after Moses fought Amalek. And Moses went up on the mountain, if you remember, with Aaron and Hur. And Aaron and Hur held his hands up when he got tired. And God gave them the victory. God gave him the victory as Moses had his hands up. But the problem was when he was holding his hands up by himself, he got tired. He let his hands down. Israel started losing. Moses is up on the mountain while Joshua was down in the valley fighting. And then Aaron and Hur set him on a rock. And then they lifted his hands in the air. One got under one hand. One got on the other hand. And what happened? They kept Moses' hands lifted. And God gave Israel the victory over Amalek that day. Joshua went down into the valley to fight. But God gave him the victory. And when Moses saw what happened, verse 15, Exodus 17, verse 15, Moses built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." And he said, "The Lord has sworn, and the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. But when he said, "The Lord is my banner," in the original language, he identified himself as Jehovah Nissi. His banner over me. In other words, Moses was saying, his banner over me is victory. God has given me the victory. When it looked like Israel wasn't going to win, Amalek had Israel outgunned, outmanned, outnumbered. There's no way Israel could have won that battle. Oh, but the Lord. Moses had his hands up saying, "The Lord is our banner." He was saying, in effect, "The Lord is our victory. The Lord is our victory." And I came to tell you today, no matter what you are facing, no matter what you're going through, if you'll keep the switch of faith turned on, if you'll continue to call him by name, if you'll continue to call him El Shaddai, if you'll continue to call him Jehovah Rapha, if you'll continue to call him Jehovah Nissi, if you'll continue to say, no matter what it looks like, "The Lord is my victory. The Lord is my victory." God has always proven himself to be a mighty deliverer, and it doesn't matter. We were just saying, even when I can't see it, he's working. Even though I can't feel it, he's working. He is our victory. You don't have to see him working. You don't have to feel him working to know that he is the victory. I said, sometimes that's why, as we did in service, it's so important to give a Holy Ghost shout. Even you say, "Well, I didn't see nothing change. I'm waiting to shout. And when I see something change, I'm going to shout." Oh, you got it backwards, dear. What you need is a Holy Ghost shout down on the inside of you, in spite of what you're going through, before you see anything change. You need to let that Holy Ghost shout come out of you before anything changes in your body. Just say, "You're Jehovah Rapha to me. It doesn't matter what I feel like. I know I've got the victory." I wish I had an amen in here. You need to say by faith before you ever see it happen, Lord, you are my banner. You are my victory. You're the one who gives me the trophy. Yeah. Because when we call him by name, when we call him by name, when we call him our victory, in spite of what we're going through, I said, God, he will deliver us every single time. Let's go to the book of Judges. The book of Judges in chapter 6 now. The book of Judges in chapter 6. The book of Judges in chapter 6. I said, there is no name like the name of our God. He said, I am that I am. He was really saying, I am El Shaddai. He was really saying, I am Jehovah Rapha. He was really saying, I am Jehovah Nissi. And here in Judges chapter 6, it's a terrible scene. Gideon has been pierced with fear. The Midianites have come in and Israel's enemy is dominating them. And Gideon's trying to hide his wheat so the enemy doesn't come and steal it. And he's afraid when God shows up on the scene and calls Gideon a mighty man of valor. And Gideon said, he corrects God. He says, it's not true. I'm not a mighty man of valor. I'm a weak. In essence, in our modern vernacular, Gideon would have been saying, I'm a weakling. I'm from the weakest family. I'm from the weakest tribe. And God said, oh, no, Gideon, you're looking at the wrong thing. He said, you are a mighty man of valor because of who I'm making you out to be. And he said, I've called you to go and deliver Israel. And Gideon said, I can't deliver Israel. How can I deliver Israel? And God told Gideon, Gideon kept looking at the flesh, looking at his own humanity, his own ability to lead. And God told Gideon, if you won't listen to me, God said, go down to the enemy's camp. Sneak down there. Sneak down to the Midian's camp. And God told him, put your ear to the tent and see what's being said in the camp of Midian. And Gideon snuck down to the enemy's camp. And when he got down there, he put his ear to the tent. And he heard two Midianites talking. And one was saying to the other, I've had a dream that God delivered Israel from the hand of Midian. And then the other one said, oh, God's going to use Israel. God's going to deliver Israel. We're going to get defeated. God's going to use that Gideon. And when Gideon heard the enemy say it, Gideon went back walking to the camp a little bit. He had a little swag when he walked back. Gideon went back and said, I'm a bad man. No, he was really saying, I serve a great and mighty God. And against impossible odds, God told Gideon, you've got too many people to fight with you. Get rid of, you got 22,000 men, but God knew what was going to happen. He said, get rid of those men. Down to 10,000, God knew what was going to happen. Get rid of those men. Down to 300 men. And God said, now I know that you'll give me the victory. You'll give me the glory for the victory. God said, I'm going to give you a victory that seems so unlikely. It seems so unlikely. It seems so, from a natural perspective, so unable to happen. You're going to take 300 men and wage war with thousands. And you're going to know nobody could do that but God. I wonder if I have anybody in here and God has ever done anything in your life. And you say, I know nobody could have done this thing right here but God. Is it just me or is there anybody here who could testify? God has done things in my life that I know nobody could have done that but God. Somebody said I was going down for my last time, but God healed me and brought me back up again. Nobody could have done that but God. I was talking to a church member several years ago, and she had been diagnosed with melanoma cancer, stage 4 melanoma cancer, given months to live. Oh, but she started calling on Jehovah Rapha. She started calling God her healer. She started calling him Jehovah Rapha. And the Lord healed her. Stage 4 melanoma cancer. And you know something? She said, nobody, nobody, nobody but God could have done that. I said, when God does stuff like that, we have to give him the glory. We have to tell the story of how he brought us through. God brought us through again and again and again. And Gideon was facing a situation like that. Oh, but verse 24 says, then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it the Lord is Peace. To this day, it is still in Ophrah and Abiezrites. however you say that. It's peace. The Lord is peace. What was Gideon saying? The Lord is my peace. Means Jehovah Shalom. He's my peace. God has provided for you and I in the body of Christ to experience his peace on a 24/7 basis. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, God has provided peace for you and I. Someone said, I couldn't sleep last night. Psalm 4 verse 8 said, I will both lay me down and sleep in peace because you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Philippians 4, 6 said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And then what? And then the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. I remember several years ago going through divorce and thinking, how am I going to get through this situation? How am I going to navigate all these tricky waters? Lord, there's so much to consider. There's so much to be done. Oh, but then I remember I got out my guitar and started worshiping the Lord. Oh, and Jehovah Shalom showed up at my house, and the peace of God began to come all over me. And somehow I knew God was going to make a way out of no way, and everything was going to be all right, and that the storm was going to start shaking and stop trembling. The storm was going to stop raging, and God did just what he said. And I remember the Lord told me, he said, stand up and speak to your storm. And he said, tell your storm the storm is over in the name of Jesus. And walk in my peace. And God, he put his peace on me. That peace on me, that peace abides with me today. That same peace. Oh, do you need the peace of God in your life? God just waiting to help you. I remember coming from the courthouse one day before I experienced Jehovah Shalom. And I was in my car headed home. And I'd just come from the courthouse and I was just bewildered. And I was thinking, I shouldn't even be in this situation. How did I get in this situation? And my buddy called me, my buddy Dan called me, and he said, Bill, he said, is that your Buick out on the Creek Nation? I said, yeah, I'm on the Creek Nation. Where are you at? He said, I flew by you at 65 miles an hour. How fast are you going? I looked at my speedometer. I said, oh, I'm only going 40 miles an hour. He said, man, what is wrong with you? I said, man, I'm just coming from court. I've been thinking, I'm in deep thought. But oh, the Lord took me from deep thought and gave me deep peace. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. And the Lord told me, I've got the power to work out everything for you. And the Lord told me, don't you worry about a thing. You keep walking in love and do what I tell you and everything is going to be. I wish I had a bigger amen. And I learned how to cast my care over, the weight of the care over on the Lord. Because Jehovah Shalom carried. He took the weight off of me and put peace on me. I wish I had a bigger amen. Let's try to finish this. Go with me to the book of Jeremiah. Go with me to the book of Jeremiah. I tell you, he is the Lord of peace. He is the Lord of peace. You need peace in your life? Oh, you need to call on the Lord of peace. Call his name. He has identified himself as Jehovah Shalom. In Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah 23 and verse 6. In his days, Judah will be saved, Israel will dwell securely, and this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Oh, you know what that one is. Jehovah Sinkanu. He is our righteousness. Someone says, well, brother, you don't know what I've done. You know, the Lord sent me to tell you this. It doesn't matter what you've done. Because the Lord, who is the Lord of your righteousness, will exchange his righteousness for your sins. He's done that for every single one of us. He's given us his righteousness for our sins. Aren't you glad about that? I said, we can stand with heads held high. We can go directly into the throne room of God. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne. We don't have to go sheepishly. We don't have to ask for an audience with the king. No, we can go boldly into his very throne room because he has made us righteous. He has given us his righteousness. And he is Jehovah Sinkanu. And he is the Lord who is righteous. Let's do one more together. Go with me to Ezekiel 48. Well, two more real quick. Ezekiel 48 and 35. Ezekiel 48, 35. Here in Ezekiel 48, 35, it says, "The city shall be 18,000 cubits round about. The name of the city from that day shall be The Lord is There." Oh, this is Jehovah Shammah. This is the Lord who is there. Somebody today says, "I feel so alone." And there are so many people who feel, who can be in a crowd of people like this and still feel alone. Oh, but Jehovah Shammah is right there with you. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you have to deal with, no matter what faces you tomorrow morning, oh, if you'll call him by name, he is the God who is there. He is Jehovah Shammah, and he is always there. In Hebrews 13, 5, he said, "I will never, ever, ever leave you or forsake you," so that we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. What shall man do to me?" I said, God is with you. He is the friend who will stick closer than a brother. Somebody said, "I'm so lonely." Well, then you need to call him by name. Because Jehovah Shammah will show up at your house. One more. Go back to Genesis now. One more. This is the last one. Genesis 22. Genesis 22, 14. I wanted to end on this one. Genesis chapter 22 and 14. Genesis 22, 14. Genesis 22, 14. Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." And so it is to this day in the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. And Abraham called him all those years ago, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. My friend, what do you need from God today? He has identified himself as the one who has the power to make it come to pass. He has given us, 2 Peter 1:4 says, "exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Whatever you're facing, God's got a promise that's greater than what you're facing. And if you'll call him who he is, and the name of Jesus is the sum total of all of those names wrapped up into one. We didn't cover all the names that God identified himself by. We'd be here too long. But all of those names, the name of, when we speak forth the name of Jesus, we are declaring all of those names at the same time. And if you got a problem, God's got a promise. And I wonder if you'd get up on your feet and help me for a moment. I wonder if you'd begin to lift a hand and begin to call him by name. I don't know what you need today, my friend. I don't know what you're facing today, but I know there's a God in heaven who's proven himself worthy of our praise, who said, "I'm willing to meet your need. I've already provided the victory." I want you to call him by name. You might need a healer today, but if you'll call him your healer, if you'll say, "Lord, it doesn't matter what it looks like in my body, in the name of Jesus, I've declared you are my healer. I've already got the trophy." I wonder if somebody would call him Jehovah Rapha today. I wonder if there's somebody here and you say, "I need to know him in his power. I need a God who can make a way where there's no way. I got a situation where I need God to open a door that no man can shut. I need to be able to call on El Shaddai and tell him, God, you are God Almighty. There's nobody like you." I wonder if somebody would call him El Shaddai today. I wonder if there's somebody here saying, "But I feel so blue. I've made mistakes. I've had shortcomings and mistakes, and I just feel so unworthy and unrighteous." Oh, but if you'll call him Jehovah Sinkanu, the Lord who is my righteousness. Oh, he'll enable you to stand tall with your head held high, knowing that Jesus has paid the price and substituted his righteousness for our sins. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen in here. You say, I need victory in my life and I'm not sure how to get it. Oh, but if you'll call him Jehovah Nissi today, if you'll say, "Your banner over me is victory, no matter what I face, no matter how difficult the challenge, no matter how daunting the problem is, you are Jehovah Nissi. You are the God who gives me the victory." I wonder if anybody in here will say, "You're Jehovah Shammah. You're the God who's there with me right now." I wonder if somebody will call him, "You're Jehovah Jireh. You're the God who's more than enough. You're the God who looks ahead and then provides. David said, let me get in on it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, David said, you're the God of the breakthrough. Hallelujah. The Hebrew boy said, you're the God who's delivered us from the fire. What do you need today? If you'll call him by name, if you will call him, believing in the heart, speaking from the mouth. 2 Corinthians 4:13, that same spirit of faith in you and I. Lift your hands and call him. Call him. Call on him. Worship him for who he is. Call him. Use your voice and worship him for who he is. Oh, bless his name right now. Bless his name. Oh, Father, we bless you. You're the healer in this place. You're the provider in this place. You're the breakthrough in this place. You're the righteousness in this place. Well, thank you, Lord. You're the all-powerful in this place right now. You're the God who's here. Hallelujah. You're the God who's our peace today. We thank you for it. We bless you, praise you, honor you, and reverence you in Jesus' name. You have something you want to say? Praise God. I said, there's wonder work and power in the name. I said, it doesn't matter what you're facing. If you'll use the word and use that name, your circumstances will have to change. You may be broke, but you can't stay broke. Your body may be facing symptoms, but it can't stay that way. God's word and God's power through that name will change every situation, every circumstance you're facing. Glory be to God. Lift your hands. Let's bless that name again. Let's worship that name. Let's reverence that name. That holy name. There's all power in that name. There's power in that name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Have your seat for just a moment. For just a moment. You're here today. You might be listening to this message, and you may not be assured what would happen to you if you were to die tonight, God forbid. But if you're here today, or if you're watching online, and you're not absolutely certain 100% that you'd go to heaven if you died tonight, I want you to lift your hand. Let me pray for you. If you don't know for a fact, if you're lost today and you're not sure what would happen to you if you died, Jesus said it this way: if you try to hold on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you'll give your life to me, you'll save it. And Jesus said this: if you're ashamed of me in this evil generation, I'll be ashamed of you. He said, but if you'll acknowledge me, I'll acknowledge you. Let me see your hand. Anybody here, you say, I want to be saved. I want you to pray for me. Lift your hand real high. I want to pray for you if you're not saved today. You don't know you'd go to heaven. Anybody here like that? Anybody here today and you say, well, I've received Christ as my Savior, but I know I'm not living right. I know I'm not living right. You need to call on Jesus. He is the Savior. One of his names is Savior, Restorer. He's a Restorer. And you say, I'm not living right, but God is dealing with you. And you want prayer, lift your hand in this place. Let me pray for you. You can get right with God right now today. Say, I want to make it right with the Father. I want to make it right. Anybody here like that? Those watching or listening through some other venue, if you want to receive Christ or you want to come back to the Lord, I'm going to pray for you right now. Everybody bow your head and say this prayer after me. Father, we come. Say this after me. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. Right now, Father, we ask you to forgive us in the name of Jesus. Ask you to save us by the blood of Jesus. Ask you, Father, we believe that you raised Jesus from the dead after he died on the cross for my sins. So I yield myself to you. Accept your forgiveness. And I'm going to call on your name rest of my life and walk in victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You can lift your head. Well, my friend, we thank you for being here this morning. And we thank you for being so easy to minister to. And as we prepare to go, we just want to remind you, if you're a first-time guest, how many first-time guests did we have here? Wave your hand at me. Yeah. If you would, we've got a special... some special information for you that we want to give you. If you'll go out to the North Lobby, right, if you're going out to the North Lobby. And if you'll go with our connection team, we just want to give you some special information, give you a good gift. Let's thank all of these who are our first-time guests. They're not going to keep you long, we promise. They're going to give you a great gift and thank you for coming. And you'll be glad you went out there and got that gift. It's a great gift. So once again, let's give all of our first-time guests a big round of applause. So be here. What's that? Prayer tonight. Okay, so Pastor Denise is leading prayer tonight, and you don't want to miss it. I'm telling you. So let's come add the corporate anointing of all of us together, and it's going to be a powerful time. How many know this is the time when we need to be praying in the body of Christ? Our country is in need of prayer. All the things that are happening right now, let's not be guilty of talking about things and not praying about it. And let's be guilty of offering more prayer about things than we are words about things. Tonight, 6 o'clock, powerful service. We're going to be praying together, so make sure that you are here. Okay, anything else? All right, so then all hearts and minds are dismissed. I think Dan is going to dismiss us, right, after a song? No? Okay, all right. So they're going to lead us in song, and you are dismissed. God bless you.